Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh, he'll make you cry, but most importantly, he's gonna save your life.
He'll let him speak for himself, he's got a lot to say. Pass him the mic and you're ready to swear.
Period.
Or Keith exclamation point.
I'm sure you could.
I would rather Keith period because it's serious and funny.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, hey.
Welcome to the Octavarius podcast. This is episode 128 of the podcast.
Whoa, man.
128 days later.
Wow.
Is the name of that film.
That is a name of a film. Anyway, let's start at the far end of the room and sound off.
Hey, it's Nick.
Hi, guys. It's LP.
It's Mark.
Hey, it's Brian.
It's Castelvi.
Hey, it's Tins.
Hey, it's John.
Hey, it's Keith.
Hey, whoa.
What the fuck was that second to last asshole?
You guys.
That wasn't Lauren.
We have a special guest tonight.
Oh, okay.
Who is?
It's our very talented, very funny, very charming magician friend, John Sterk. John Sterk, welcome to the program.
Oh, my great pleasure. Which camera am I supposed to look into?
Camera 3, if you could.
It's a bug camera right here.
Where's my blocking?
The orange tape.
Got it. Okay,
that's your mark.
Yeah, we left all the notes in your trailer.
You should be able to feel the heat of the mic on your face.
Yeah.
That's how you know you
and your mic. I got it. Okay, there it is.
That's how you can feel the anger of everyone in the chat room.
John Sterk is with us in the podcast tonight, not only because he is a fun person to talk to and to hang around, but also because he is helping us with our show coming up this Sunday at the Comedy Sports Theater, 929 Belmont in sunny Chicago, Illinois.
We should also say something about our sponsors. Is that what we do now?
Yes, we do right at the beginning.
That is what we do now. Octavarius is, of course, partnered with Cheesy's, a delightful gourmet grilled cheese place right across the street from Comedy Sports on Belmont. And they, what can we say about them?
After the show last night, I had to leave early, but I went and stopped by Cheesy's for food. And the guy, I think Mike was his name, Becky, Keith's girlfriend was there, and she said mentioned something like, oh, he doesn't have a ticket, he shouldn't get the discount. But he looked at me and then looked at the postcard and was like, you're one of these guys, right? You're this guy? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, you work in the neighborhood, have a discount. And he gave me a discount.
Great.
Yeah, I'm sweet. Almost to the point where they know me too, and they're just, I don't have to fucking grab the card and like, I'm this guy.
I'm this doofus.
But you did used to do that all the time.
I did do that, but the guy, whoever's there, is like, what's up, man?
Yeah.
10%.
I took some family and friends there, and they had a wonderful time.
They also have $4 drinks.
Oh, yeah.
No more, no less.
Revolution IPA was delicious.
Yes. Except
going right to my hips.
Except for their Capri Sun pouches, which are much cheaper than that.
That's awesome.
And delicious, but you don't know what Capri Sun they have, so they also
serve pizza.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I did see that.
Which is a version of their grilled cheese sandwiches. They have like the Mac on a pizza.
Now, it's been a long time since I had a Capri Sun. Is that pouch still a really bitch to open? Is it
for adults?
Yeah.
That's because you're not electro cool enough.
Oh, yeah.
Mountain cool, man.
Magic!
We are, of course, also partnered with our good friends at Uncle Fun, right around Belmont and Southport, also in sunny Chicago. Illinois.
Now hiring.
They're a customer of mine.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Uncle Fun is great, aren't they? Yeah. They're wonderful people. They sell just ridiculous novelties, jokes, luchador masks, just the weirdest like little costume pieces and props that you could find.
Fun fact, the vomit is American made.
Is it?
Right here in Chicago.
God bless America.
That's my day job. I work at the fake vomit factory. No, not a fake vomit factory. The fake vomit factory.
That's amazing.
Excuse me.
Fun fact.
I shouldn't have doubted.
Isn't it Fun Incorporated?
That's right. That's my day job, Fun Incorporated. Yeah. America's largest magic and novelty manufacturer. Inventors of fake vomit and the wind-up chattering teeth.
Inventors of the chattering teeth?
Yeah.
That is a feat.
It was invented by the H. Fishlove Company back in the 20s, which my company then acquired about you know, 20 years ago. So.
You know, I gotta say there, John, I bought a pair of those chattering teeth.
Uh-huh.
Didn't work. Didn't work at all.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, my friend. The motors were made in China.
Those assholes.
We're already banned in China, so that's why we can tell you.
Suck it, China! You suck at the Olympics.
Anyway, shit.
I'd have to check your label.
There's no way.
No, they're all
up by what up, Tim? What are you saying shit about?
Oh, shit. You guys.
We lose it already?
I feel like such a goof.
What? You're embarrassing us in front of John Stark.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot the mailbag.
Damn it.
Well... What are we going to do?
I think I've got it.
Hold on. Mark.
Not only is America winning or tied with China in Olympic medal count, but I also found the mailbag.
What is this? What is it?
Did you hear that?
It doesn't work like a balloon.
It popped.
Wait, I can't even see what it... I think I see what it is. It looks like a marshmallow.
It's a jumbo letter.
Letter.
This one comes to us from Mr. Abbott Costello.
Oh, okay.
And Mr. Costello writes, "Hey, Octavarius.
Hey, what's up?
I am very inspired by vaudevillian performance, mm-hmm. and I was wondering if you two feel the same thing." I think he thinks there's only two of us. I don't know. I was wondering if you two feel the same thing. Because I find that the interesting atmosphere, humor, and unique personalities that came out of that era were quite fascinating and have led to much inspiration for humor that has come afterwards. Also, I love cream pies. What is up with that?
Oh, thank you very much, Abbott, Mr. Costello, if you will. You know, if any of you out there in podcast land have a question, comment, anything for us, feel free to throw it up on our Facebook wall. Not vomit it on our Facebook wall, but throw it up on our Facebook wall. Or tweet at us at Octavarius. Who knows? We might give you a little shout out. We might read some comments on the air here and there.
I'll do it.
Yeah. Whether it's live during the podcast or, you know, Wednesday while you're at work, feel free to throw us something. Anyway, we're talking about, we're talking vaudeville then, huh?
I've always had a great appreciation of what I believe vaudeville to be.
Sure.
And I say that because I haven't done, you know, a ton of research and, like, looked up old acts, but I have loved the idea of just variety shows in general. I think they're so fun. A lot of us here actually have been able to host a variety show when we were at ISU called Theater of Ted.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that was a lot of like the beginnings of vaudeville too, because a lot of it was silly, ridiculous, testing the waters for what you could do on a stage, as it was still being defined back then. Like, what can you do on a stage? What is stage worthy? And that's sort of what we experimented with in Theater of Ted at ISU. So just the whole idea of having a grand host who brings on unique and obscure acts that entertain, thrill, scare, entice audience members has always been a really fun show style for me, and I don't think I'd ever pass up the opportunity to see a vaudeville show or a vaudeville style show.
It's it traces back all the way up to the 1880s. Vaudeville. Vaudeville, literally, I'm on...
Lincoln never got to see vaudeville.
Never got to see it, no.
What a poor son of a bitch.
Bet you that was his biggest regret.
Yeah, it comes from the French voix de ville, which means voice of the city or songs of the town.
Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it would be, for those of you who are unaware of what vaudeville is, just a variety, act of variety, something there would be usually a host. Apparently... It was usually in alcohol-free halls, and often slavish devotion to favor among members of the middle class. So burlesque, juggling acts, impresarios,
magic,
and of course, magic. Magic was there.
But it was an alcohol-free hall.
Mostly, in the beginning. This is the beginnings of vaudeville.
Before it got drunk.
Before people just got fucked up.
Well, it was back when, like, it was still so taboo and so uncertain where people thought about alcohol. Mm-hmm. So it's not too surprising to me that it was in an alcohol-free place.
Yeah, and then, you know, things went on. And apparently, speakers were Italian and or Yiddish, as most theater owners on the East Coast were at the time.
Hmm.
Huh.
So I'm just getting all the information for you.
Has anybody ever been to a vaudeville show?
I have. I saw one.
It was billed as a vaudeville show?
Yeah, and it was in like, God, it was like Missouri or something like that.
Branson?
Yeah, I was a young. I believe it was somewhere outside of St. Louis or Lake of the Ozarks around there. It wasn't Branson. I've never been to Branson.
Passing through?
No, I was a child and my parents took me to this show. They thought it would be very fun, and they did it in as it was an early 20th century style. Stop looking at me when you're just do your thing. Nick, go to the garbage or don't.
What's the fuck? Look at the fuck.
You're distracting everyone.
Tell
your fucking story.
I was fine.
Come on.
Well, give me a beer. I want a beer.
Fuck. We can say fuck.
We can say anything.
We can say all the
anything
words.
Yes. So anyway, they built it. It was almost like a turn of the 20th century vaudeville show. So they had folks that would play the washboard and jug band and all these different acts, plate spinners, dog acts and things like that. And they picked me to go up on stage and play the washboard. And I just had the most fun. And they had footlights and everything like it was an old vaudeville house.
Right.
I think that was the idea, is that it actually was an old vaudeville house or something like that. And it was really an awesome thing. And they always had a giant sign on the side, and they would change the sign to say the name of the act. And I just thought that was the coolest fucking thing. It's probably not around anymore.
I've been a part of a couple of vaudeville shows.
Uh-huh.
And there's a nonprofit here in Chicago called Voice of the City.
Oh.
So now I know why it's called that.
Interesting.
But it was great because there was some acrobats, there was a clown, and not like a birthday clown with the full makeup, but a guy doing physical clowning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then I did the magic, and it's a lot of fun, because for one thing, from a magician's perspective, there's not a lot of places to do magic anymore.
Right.
Okay, mm-hmm. The closest that I usually get is, I can go to an open mic, like a stand-up open mic night,
mm-hmm.
But I know that most of the stand-ups there don't really care for the magician.
How, if I may, when you do magic at your standard open mic,
yeah.
how does your magic get perceived by the average audience?
They love it.
Yeah?
And it's not because I'm exceptional or anything. It's because it's a variety. It's something different.
You're very different, I have to imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I get asked to be a part of a lot of improv showcases.
Yeah. Well, that's why
we were special, man. Fuck you.
aside from you guys. It goes improv, magician, improv, and the audience is just talking about the magician the whole time because it's something different.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll also say that something that's so fun about your show is that magic is like a very grand, wild thing. It's, you know, it's fantastical, and you have a great, completely mundane delivery to it all, which is this beautiful contrast. It's so dry. It's so dry, and like you present it as if it's nothing special, and then it's mesmerizing. So it's a very fun contrast, which is why I think it plays so well in the comedy venue.
I'm deeply honored that you appreciate that part of my act.
I love that.
It's our favorite.
Yeah, that's why.
Can
we
I ask
have
you something, John? Are you? I'm on the Wikipedia page for magic or stage magic.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself a magician or an illusionist?
Uh-huh.
Well. Okay, I consider myself a magician. Okay.
What's the difference?
When you say illusionist, it gives you the impression that you're doing grand stage illusions with the boxes and the chicks. Okay,
okay,
right? And the tigers
and the tigers and stuff. And I don't do that mainly because I can't afford it. Because those boxes are freaking expensive.
Yeah,
really?
So that's why Job is an illusionist.
Yeah,
and not
he can
a magician.
He can afford that.
My illusions.
Ah, Job from Arrested Development.
Now me, I when I started doing magic, I was a poor college student. I was a sophomore at Michigan State University.
Spartans.
Said, go
Spartans.
Green, go white. I always make the joke that I learned at Michigan State because it's.
Wow.
Infuriating.
Wow.
John takes the
lead. I just gave away my act. I just gave away my act.
You know what? John Stirk might steal the punk crowd.
I believe I have my eyes on getting that punk crowd.
You told me that.
I am going
last
in
night.
With the intent of taking that crown.
Well, we'll let you know right now. The official rules say the punk crown can be passed during any official Octavarius performance. The podcasts are included with that.
That's
so
true.
I guess what I'm saying is good luck to you, sir.
Yeah, you can right. technically take
if
it.
If I get the punk crown from Michigan State, that was too easy. That's no, true. I don't want it. I don't want
all
it.
Right. It's all subjective.
It's all short live the king. Short
well, anyway,
live the king.
What I was saying was, when I started doing magic, I was a 19-year-old sophomore at Michigan State, and okay. so all I could really focus on was cards and coins and small sleight of hand, because for one, I didn't have any place to keep that big stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was able to find work, paid magic work, as a restaurant performer.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
So I would go in the restaurant, table to table, doing the small tricks for families.
What kind of restaurants were you doing this at?
The first one I worked at was a Texas Roadhouse.
Sweet.
Yeah. It was one of the weirdest coincidence things. I went in for dinner. I saw a sign on the wall that said, Kids Night this Tuesday. And I sort of jokingly said to the manager, hey, it's Kids Night on Tuesday. Do you ever think about having a magician? And I did a trick for him. And he's like, And got his, you know, did the chin stroke.
You got something there, kid.
And then I said, all right, I'll tell you what. I'll come in this week to do magic for you for 2 hours for no charge. And at the end of the night, we'll decide if you want to make me a permanent part of it.
Oh.
And so I came in, I did magic for 2 hours for all the patrons. And at each table, I'd say, now, guys, if you like the magic, please let the management know on your way out.
Cool.
So at the end of the night, when I asked him, so did you hear any good feedback? He's like, yeah, we got a ton. People love this. And so that was my first...
You weaseled your way into a permanent gig.
Works every time.
It sounds pretty secure, but there's something we don't know about you yet, John.
Oh, oh
that's right.
Which is what something we ask all of our guests.
Mm-hmm.
What is your biggest fear?
This is time for
like,
the...
real fear.
Okay, I'm honestly afraid of forgetting... I'm booked somewhere.
So being late?
For not just being late, because being late you can handle. But
missing a gig?
But missing a gig.
Oh.
Has that ever happened?
It's never happened. Knock on wood. But, yeah, that's my biggest fear. Is I'm obsessively checking my calendar and my email and making sure. Because in addition to working as a magician, I also work as a music director.
Sure,
around
sure.
around Chicago for... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that
and
fear.
And Comedy Sports Theater.
Yeah. As an MD, I don't have time to do a whole lot of MDing, but I do it here and there sporadically. But I do also share that fear a little bit of like, shit, what did I say yes to a gig or did I dream that? Is it in my... It's not in my Google Calendar, so
yeah.
It must not be a gig unless
right.
I forgot to put it in the Google Calendar. It's frightening. It really is a frightening thing.
I have a fear, too, that I've just realized, and that fear is to have to apologize to Nick Makula, because in just trying to unfasten the pun crown, I broke it.
See?
Now, it just snapped instead of undoing itself from the buckle spots.
So I have a backup, too.
No, this was your backup.
No, I have another
You have
backup.
Another one?
Yeah.
You
How
guys,
do we
oh,
have?
So you're not like, you're not the true king. So that's why you broke it.
Well,
yeah.
It's just it wouldn't come undone. It's a piece of garbage,
fellas. We really ought to invest
in
a nice $5 or $6 crown.
I say we should drop $40 on it.
Whoa, man!
You guys,
I want a red velvet. I want a red velvet like tier that goes over your head and like a cross. Like
you
a
must
crown.
Be Joe King.
Wow.
I don't know.
Here,
man.
Take this, here, take this
no.
piece of boomerang
no.
plastic.
No.
You get poked with a trident for that one. That was
they aren't supposed to be good. Remember, they're supposed to get bad reactions is the win.
Yeah. That's the win.
That's the win, then I got it made.
I think they're supposed to get the
it.
Biggest reaction.
Yeah.
It's just a really big reaction.
Because, yeah, because it can be a bad pun, but you know when a bad pun is so bad, it's awesome.
Yeah.
That's my whole act.
Yeah,
you've seen it.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's one of the things I love about your
I got
act.
Got this in the bag.
It's shameless jokery.
At its best.
And yeah, I do a lot of those puns and those bad jokes. But my philosophy has always been if you can deliver it right,
mm-hmm.
which people usually don't.
Yeah, I think that that can be said of any line, really. You deliver any line the right way, and it's gonna hit.
Well, yeah, Karen has a bunch of Burger King crowns, she says in the chat room.
I want something better than that.
This is what we have for right now. We can get something better later.
Can you look up crowns right now, please?
You know what? That is exactly
Haven't proven that we can take care of them yet.
No, we haven't proven that we can take care of one that's worth being taken care of.
I have a crown somewhere in my parents' house from being prom prince. I don't know where it is, but if I can find it...
You know,
runner-up to prom king?
Well, it's the best you can do as a junior in high school.
Why don't you have this fucking crown on you all the
because
time?
Because that was 10 years ago and I've moved
Whatever,
on.
Dude.
You I'm an old man now.
Your crown? Dude, if I want a fucking crown, I'd have a crown for, like, whenever I fucking
dude,
want.
Dude, that was a different Makula, alright? That was a Makula that weighed, like, 105 pounds.
Whatever, put on your crown. It's Tuesday. Biwo, you must be joking.
God,
that
damn
was worth seconds.
Dude, there are crowns online for like $15.
I'm telling you, we can get some nice crowns.
Dude, I'm having trouble finding these goddamn crown sites.
I don't want to buy one.
I found another
one of
Jesus crowns, dude. What the fuck?
I found some.
You gotta stop googling thorny crowns.
I did. I just said crown. Now I'm getting tiaras.
Just what about king crown?
Yeah,
or man
king's
crown.
$50.
So one thing I think that's crazy about vaudeville is
that crowns.
It's a million different things. Oh yeah, wait. Do we need John Stark's like physical fear?
My physical
fear. Yeah, what's like something you think might kill you?
He doesn't have to kill you.
I have a sort of a bug phobia. I hate bugs.
Any specific bugs?
Just the creepy crawlers.
What's the worst?
You know?
What's
the worst?
Those like silverfish, those awful.
Oh god, those are bad. Those are bad.
Those silverfish bugs? What are they?
They're like horrible. Those thousand leggers. There's those.
Oh, these guys.
Look at that picture of them.
They're pretty awful. I found my first one in my apartment the other day.
Whoa,
those were 850.
Yeah.
No good.
Can I see a picture of it again? I've forgotten.
What do they look like?
They look like this.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, God.
These monsters?
Yeah, they're awful. What kind of demon is that?
They're all over Chicago right now. There's like a big...
Is there a silverfish epidemic?
It's not...
Yes, there is.
No, it's not a silverfish.
Those are the millipede things.
It's a different...
Oh, you mean those?
It's a different house spawn altogether. That's it.
And it's an awful hellspawn.
I agree, John. I have the same thing.
The creepy crawly bugs.
Well, I don't like if they're like over. If I can see them, and if like they're like 2 feet away from me, fine.
Yeah, if you could see it, it's not so bad. If you could see it coming,
it's like if it's on you.
But if it's, I look down and it's on me, and
I'm
gonna scream like a girl.
Oh yeah, dude.
Fact.
That is a fact.
I think for me, it's like I don't get. I don't get that. Oh, that's fucking gross when it's full screen.
Okay, put it away.
For it's
Oh my god! It's like an alien.
It's on me right now.
Makula's brain. Makula's brain sent that.
Makula is leaving the room as we speak.
Well, now we can talk about it.
Is now leaving the room.
For me, the bug thing, unless it's blown up to full screen, which is oh god, that's awful. For me, if they're in the room, I'll just go kill it, and it's no big deal. It gets to me though when it's like somewhere in the corner of the ceiling or something, and I can't really get to it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, that's gonna.
I got a vacuum with a long hose and wand.
Because
once you
see one anywhere in the room,
like,
you have to destroy it because you don't want it.
Well, you know what? I live just by myself, and just this last week or a couple weeks ago. I saw a spider, in my bedroom, and it was crawling on the wall, and I was like, oh, I'll just kill it. It's just like, and so I grabbed the Kleenex box. As I grabbed it and went back towards the spider, it had disappeared.
Wow.
It vanished. And I'm like, well, that's the end of my life.
gotta
now
move.
I know that fucking spider's just around, and it knows I'm going to kill
Taryn
it.
Taryn just posted a link of a picture of a spider fighting a snake.
Oh my god.
Okay,
oh my god, it's horrifying.
Let me see it, let me
That's
see it.
That's a huge
it's
spider.
Awful. It's
that spider
awful.
Oh god.
It's just a small snake.
Make it go away.
No, dude. That's a window.
Somebody bring up the picture of Batman fighting a shark with a lightsaber. That
was... oh, God. Okay.
I don't know why that picture exists, but it does.
Guys, okay. This has been the most traumatic podcast for me.
Okay. Let's talk about Vaudeville, quick!
Yeah, one of those things I've always thought was cool about Vaudeville was how...
Oh my God, I found a picture of Batman fighting a shark with a lightsaber.
Yeah. It exists.
Is how different everything is, but how... I feel like that is kind of cyclical. It's like a trend that comes in and out of favor. You know, there's a period where people love that sort of variety show, get whatever you can, but the fun is how different everything is. And then we kind of go back into a wave where, you want one of the same thing. Do you guys see that?
Yeah, here's what I'm actually finding interesting about the vaudeville era is not only were there I'm looking at a sample bill in my research. There's 9 different acts, but I guess the way it was often set up was that the first act or two would be just like dummy acts that, you know, they're not important, they're not very impressive, but
it's
they're
like a squash match.
They're I get yeah. Oh.
Sorry, I didn't delete the tab.
Apologies to our squash fans listening to the podcast. There would be, on this sample bill, the first act is just a couple of dancers. Then there's a couple of singers.
So they're just a couple of dancers?
No, it's a man and 2 women who do a singing turn of the operatic order. But the first act or two were just there to, as placeholders, the house filled. Which I guess makes sense, so it sort of took the form of an opening band would today. But what I find really interesting is the last act, it was traditionally a kind of shitty act,
yep.
And it was meant to clear the house.
The next to last act was the star spot.
Yeah, the next to last act in the bill I'm looking at is a monologist and vocalist. He goes like a cyclone. It is a case of continuous laughter from his entrance to his exit. And then the last act is Burke and Andrus and their trained mule. This act, if it can be so classed, was closed after the evening performance. Mule.
Well, you watch that.
Well, things like that are kind of popular now in but they're done in contest styles. So you think you have talent?
Talk about America's Got Talent.
Yeah, America's Got Talent or whatever.
Well, they're always finding a way, somehow, to bring a variety show format back to television.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think back in the day you had shows like Merv Griffin and Ed Sullivan.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And now we have America's Got Talent. And while I honestly stay away from all those talent reality shows.
Yeah, I feel you're either in them or you're not.
Well, for one, they're totally fixed, and two, they do selective editing. For example, I know so many magician friends of mine who have been called and asked to audition, and they even did a montage one year a few years back of failure magician fails.
Right? Oh,
and it was just 2 seconds of magicians. Of all these different magicians failing. And I know for a fact that none of those magicians really failed. They just made it look like they did.
That sucks.
And so I'm forever anti America's Got Talent. And secondly, they bring in the professionals for that show. Which really, it's supposed to be amateurs, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first magicians to make it big on that show was Kevin James. And
the actor?
Not same name as the actor. But in the magician world, Kevin James is a...
Sorry, I called him the actor.
...is a huge name. And he already had a show in Vegas.
Really?
Whereas the prize for winning America Got Talent was a Vegas show.
So they just brought in this ringer that they knew was going to be able to provide solid entertainment?
For a while. And then when it was convenient to have him lose...
Huh.
Well, air quotes. I mean, air quotes.
Huh.
So I don't trust those things at all. And, every once in a while there might be somebody that I know or somebody will say, hey, so-and-so did a good act last night in America's Got Talent. I'll watch it on YouTube the next day. And think to myself, yeah, that was pretty good. Great. Magic on TV. That's kind of what we're going for. But still, it's just soured.
Who's your favorite magician?
Mac King.
Mac King?
Yep, M-A-C. K-I-N-G.
I'm unfamiliar with
him. Is he a contemporary magician?
He is.
What's his deal? What do you like about him?
Right now, he does the afternoon shows twice a day at Harrah's.
Seems like he's at Las Vegas. The last show.
He does jokes
then.
Yeah, he's a comedy magician.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And he's the kind of magician, his style is kind of like what I try to do, in that he's a one-man act who works out of a briefcase.
Cool.
That's all he has, and he'll do a 5,000-seat theater just out of the briefcase.
Wow.
And frequently does.
Mm-hmm.
So, him and Penn and Teller, I like them a lot.
Penn and Teller are great.
And I've seen Copperfield, the last time I saw him was, gosh, probably 7 or more years ago. And it was a little disappointing.
Yeah?
Because it seemed like he was phoning it in.
Huh.
That whole show. It was in East Lansing, Michigan.
Who's your least favorite magician?
Is it
David Blaine? You hate David Blaine? Tell me you hate David
Blaine. How about Chris Angel, the Mind Freak?
I'm not a fan. And I'm not a fan because...
Of the Mind Freak?
Of the Mind Freak.
The Mind Freak!
The Mind Freak! Just because his style is totally not my style.
Yeah.
Yeah,
where he tries to do this urban mystical thing. And the reason I do my act in sort of the deadpan manner that I do is because I can't take it as seriously as... trying to convince people that I can do real magic.
Wait, what? No way, it's not real?
And you've got a nice...
Spell it out for me.
But you've got a nice juxtaposition of really fun, funny magic combined with, a fairly deadpan character. Whereas, somebody like Chris Angel, I get the same thing. I can't really get into a guy that's, like, claiming to... summon occult forces with
does he literally
with a
say
serious
that?
Look.
Or does it just imply?
Well, I'll tell you, I went and saw...
Does he have like a...
My one trip to Las Vegas in like 2009, I went to go see his show Believe at the Luxor.
Mm-hmm.
And honest to God, I liked it, except for all the parts with Chris Angel. All the Cirque du Soleil parts were cool, but all the parts with Chris Angel, I just didn't like him.
There's part of him that just doesn't seem like a very likable guy.
I tell you, I walked out and... Well, I didn't walk... I watched the whole show, and as I was leaving,
he spells his name with two S's.
Yeah. Yeah. C-R-I-double-S. Yeah.
That is annoying.
And then, as I'm leaving, I'm asking other people around me, oh, so what'd you think of the show? Nobody liked it. I get in the cab to go home. I go back to my hotel.
Well, he just looks like a douchebag.
The cab driver says, oh, what'd you go see? I saw Chris Angel Believe. He goes, oh, yeah, everybody hates that show. Yeah.
But so, there were a lot of people in the audience, right?
But the house was full.
But it's a Vegas show, it's wildly expensive.
Yes, it was. And I could only afford a ticket in the very back row. But I knew I had heard the bad reviews, and I'm like, I'm here in Vegas. I may never come back to Las Vegas again. I got to see this thing for myself to see if it's really as bad as they say.
Sure.
And
he looks like the guy you walk in on, like, banging your girlfriend. And you're like, what? you're banging this guy?
I'm mind banging
this. This is the last thing I'll say about Chris Angel, is that he's like a 55-year-old man who dresses like an emo teenager.
He's 44.
Oh, he's
no
a 44-year-old man who dresses like an emo teenager.
He does. I'm looking at him right now, man.
He's like a creepy beard.
And I'm done.
No,
so.
He's just like just skinny and weird. He looks like fucking the Crow.
He looks like the Crow. He does have good abs for a magician.
Oh, yeah.
And I wouldn't wear a shirt either.
You got to see his abs in the show?
You did.
He's shirtless all the time.
Yes, he did. He did go shirtless
abs,
in the show.
Ladies.
Oh, that's so weird.
Look, if I had a body like Chris Angel, I'd flaunt it and then pretend to cry about it all the time.
I hope
you do topless magic.
I hope he does stuff like just
with a lot of porn stars.
Like,
for the record, right?
Just to prove that I have nothing up my sleeves, I'll take my whole shirt off.
Hey, John Stark, can we make a video series of you? And you just do street magic topless and as dry as you can.
Yes,
never.
Please,
you can
please.
Never reference the shirtlessness. You can only ask people if they'd like to see him in magic. And then you do some magic.
I already have a YouTube channel for that, but it's private.
I think it'll be a wildly popular web series.
Oh, it is.
Street magic.
Trust me. Actually, fun fact.
Oh, good.
My first job out of college was as a street performer. in northern Michigan at a place called Mackinac City. Not not to be confused with Mackinac Island. Mm. Mackinac City was the small village on the mainland where you take the ferry to Mackinac Island. Mm. But there was this outdoor shopping mall, and I would do 6 to 8 shows a day every 2 hours and do the same 3 tricks. And they paid for my hotel, and they gave me a weekly stipend, and the rest was all passing the hat. And that was, I got really good at those 3 tricks.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Just practice. Practice makes
and
perfect.
And it was the whole thing of managing a street audience that really improved my, not just my magic, but just my stage presence and performance manner. It was like a graduate level course.
Yeah, because I have to imagine that capturing and keeping an off the street audience is going to be tougher than say enthralling somebody who's, you know, say at a restaurant or going to see your show or whatever, who's already there to see you.
Yeah, I mean, I also have a busking license for the city of Chicago, and I haven't been out too recently, but go down to Michigan Avenue, find a spot, and try to work a crowd. And on a good day, I can do about $100 in 3 hours.
Nice. That's not bad at all.
It's not bad. And so fortunately, I'm happy that I've been busy enough this year where I haven't had to go do that.
Yeah.
I've been keeping pretty busy on my Saturdays because I don't want to go busking for 3 hours in 100-degree heat.
Sure.
And then have to play a comedy sports show.
It'll be easy
night.
When you're not wearing a shirt, though.
Yeah.
I'll hand flute with
still
you.
Still 100 degrees.
Yeah, well, you'll have me hand flute, and that'll keep it cool.
Yeah. That'll keep it cool.
I think it's cool, though, that, you know, like, if there's a lot of people who, if they, you know, if they're out of money, don't really have much to do except go apply for other jobs, whereas you can just take a hat outside and make $100.
Yeah, that's been my plan, like plan E.
Like, that's amazing to me.
I have that skill, and I'm.
Well, that's how Penn and Teller did it for.
That's
a long
right.
Time.
Mm-hmm. Penn and Teller used to be street performers in Philadelphia, and Teller still does the needles, which he does in the show now, with the needle swallowing trick.
I was unaware he had a needle swallowing trick.
Which is
horrifying
old,
to me.
That is an old, old, old trick. In fact, there's footage on YouTube, I'm sure you can find it, of Houdini swallowing the needles.
Huh.
Why?
And there's video of Houdini?
Yeah, there is some footage of Houdini.
Oh, yeah, well, I see it right here.
But, yeah, I mean, it's Amazing Jonathan was a street performer. So was Penn and Teller. So was Mark Wiener. So was... You remember Mark Wiener from Wienerville on Nickelodeon?
Yeah. Oh, I do now.
He was a street performer, and so was Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm. What? What? Wait.
Would Robin Williams do magic, performer. Or would he do comedy?
He didn't do magic, but he was a street performer.
Oh, whoa, it's just his rants?
I imagine just screaming in accents.
He was just Mork, just walking around.
He was just screaming without a Bible on the street?
Yeah. could be. But,
was it the 60s or 70s?
I'm fortunate that I've got the skill for street performing, and I've done it in a few other places. I've done it in Chicago, Cincinnati, Detroit, which is near my hometown of Plymouth, Michigan. And although I've never done it in New Orleans, I have a lot of friends who are full-time street performers. That's all they do. And they'll spend half
of
a
magic?
Year...
Of magic? They do magic too?
They do street busking magic. Half the year in the north and half the year in New Orleans.
Wow.
And that's
why New Orleans?
That's
yeah,
New Orleans is a great town for busking because there's tourists year round.
A lot of foot
and they're
traffic,
all
right?
Drunk.
Lots of foot traffic, but it's rough. I mean, I don't think I could make it down there because, you know, I'm a short, pudgy, puny guy. I don't think I'd make it very well down there. But the lessons that they learn down there certainly apply to anything.
Sure.
And that's when I started doing classes for improv. The reason I started doing it was to make my magic deck better. And I know that they helped a lot. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you could actually succeed a lot in New Orleans if you just had a machete on your back.
Yeah.
Just always. And then if anybody ever looked at you cross-eyed, you could just, like...
Also, if you're not wearing a shirt and have a machete on your back... You are the coolest man ever.
Or have you thought about being an organ grinder?
I thought they were all gone.
Not in Vienna. That's what I'm looking at this picture from. This
with the monkeys and everything?
With the monkeys and everything.
Okay.
Dude.
Wow.
Oh, man.
It's hardcore.
Can you get monkey licenses nowadays?
Well,
capuchin licenses? You could probably still get a pet capuchin in places.
Does it have to be a capuchin?
I'm just going
to
look up monkey license.
It's we'll like the...
Hey, I'm back. Stop for a second.
Hey, Nick.
What's a capuchin?
It's a it's that type of monkey, like that small monkey that is often
like in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
It is small, white faced monkey. It was also the one in Outbreak and Friends.
Yeah,
the Jabba virus.
Is
it
Abu? Abu like that? Was Abu one of those monkeys?
He might have been.
Yeah, he was.
The they monkey.
Come, they, do they come with the little fez?
They're born with it, yes.
Yeah, don't go to monkeylicense.com.
Why would I?
It exists, first of all.
I would,
it's not what I need.
I would
monkey
much...
Helpers. Monkey helpers.
I'm at petmonkeyinfo.com. Pet monkey laws.
Monkey helpers, I guess he's for the disabled.
Oh, but we need performing monkeys. That's what we need.
I think this is both.
You think you can do both?
Right. We're organ grinding disabled, and we need a monkey.
I'm
going
to see if I can.
So wait, so John, if you want to perform, do you need a busking license in basically every city?
No,
so like, you couldn't just if you're traveling. How could you do that?
You'd have to Google the local laws, the local ordinances for where you're going. In Chicago, you need one. In New York, you don't. But
so you can just be a person on the street with a hat in New York, theoretically.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing that bothers me most about Chicago, is that for me to do a magic show and then pass the hat, I have to have a license.
Mm-hmm.
But for me to just walk up to people and say, give me a dollar, I don't need a license for that. For me to just
baloney.
Yeah, I mean, those guys can just stand there shaking their...
You should be shirtless.
So do you, like, give the homeless guys around you the evil eye?
Yes!
Dirty
and the Bucket Boys.
Oh,
The Bucket Drummers. And I'll tell you, the Bucket Drummers are the reason that we have such regulations.
Because like, they're loud and
because they're loud annoying as hell. You know, I'm not allowed to use any amplified sound, and there's noise ordinances. So I have to do everything just with the power of my own voice. But because those Bucket Drummers are so loud, that's why we have all the noise restrictions we have on performances.
Yep. And they're not really using amplified sound. They're just using bucket sound. It's louder than amplified sound would ever be anyway.
It was like seven.
We have a question from
question?
Nick McCool.
Hi, I'm back again. So wait, you can't use, like, magic shows or, like, can't use, like, amplified sound?
Nope.
No street performance.
On the street.
Now, what about, I'm sure you guys have seen this guy, like, on State Street, just south of Madison, the guy who's, like, he has a microphone with a stereo.
Yeah.
Just saying, but... No,
that's illegal.
See, yeah,
he's there, like, every week. Like,
well, he's probably not there every week. That's probably why there's no...
Well, and the other thing is, the cops might give him a pass if, as long as he's not violating the, you know, decibel limits.
Okay.
They might.
Because there's a guy named Diversi and Clark.
Who
shreds on a guitar, on an electric guitar.
Oh, I was thinking of the piano one.
No, there's a guy who I've seen shred. Like, he just stands there for hours and just wails on his guitar. And it's
awesome
at first. But then it's like, okay, you're still just shredding, though. There's nothing really happening anymore. You're wailing hard on your guitar.
But yeah, I have seen a number of people with like little small portable amplifiers, but it's a no-no.
Yep, it's officially a no-no.
Yeah.
And the last thing I need to do is give the cop any sort of ammunition to use against me.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only do I have to be careful about the noise ordinance if I was using an amplified sound, but I also have to be careful about blocking the foot traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Which I could potentially, you know, gather a crowd of, you know, 60 to 100 people.
Yeah, sure.
So I have to be very careful about the crowd.
You don't want to be the magician in the holding cell.
Yeah. That might not be so bad.
Pull a quarter out of my ass.
Show me a trick.
I'm not so worried about being arrested, as that probably wouldn't happen. But I would get a ticket, and the ticket would wipe out any money I'd make.
Yeah, you don't want to have to worry about being out there all day in the hot sun for a net total in the negatives.
Yeah.
And plus, there's so many, like rogue thieves on the street.
I would worry a little bit about rogue thieves, I guess.
It's not so bad.
It depends on where you... I guess it depends on...
rogue thieves, though.
It probably depends on where you end up and when you end up there.
Yeah, if I... For example, if I was down by the Wrigley Building on Michigan Avenue, mm-hmm. the police are pretty well patrolled there, and as long as it's daylight, I'd probably be fine. But I personally would not go out there after dark, just because, like, again, puny white boy. So
you're a white boy.
Yeah.
That's clearly been out all day collecting money.
Clearly been out all day, and you could, if they're watching me, if they could probably see where I'm putting all this money
right.
on my person.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I'm very careful about that.
Just busk in front of your bank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take
bank.
It right in.
Yeah, just stand right in front of Chase. And every hour, go in and make a deposit.
Yeah.
I bet I can get your social security number. Hold on. Your pin is this.
So what do you guys think? Why did vaudeville go away?
I'll tell you why. It's the talking pictures.
Exactly why. They're actually pinpointing the possible... Like, I guess it's often considered to have been the death knell of vaudeville.
New York somewhere, right?
It was on November 16th, 1932, when the New York City's Palace Theater, which I guess used to be vaudeville's like hub... finally switched to exclusively cinema. So they decided, we're not doing vaudeville anymore, we're just doing movies, because people like movies and we can make money that way. And I guess that was it for vaudeville, you know, unofficially. Which is interesting.
But you know, vaudeville gave us a lot of famous comedians.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking Bob Hope, Milton Berle.
Yeah, Judy Garland, Sammy Davis Jr., Red Skelton, Burns and Allen... Yeah, so that's true.
Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
Well, that's very famous.
Yeah, the Three Stooges.
Three Stooges. Yeah. Marx Brothers.
Keith and his magic horse.
Yep. Keith and his magic... What?
You have to believe in it to see it.
But, yeah, I guess that's interesting. People adapting to fit the new media. And then people had to do that again when Silent Pictures moved over to talkies.
Right.
When did they start calling them stand-up comedians? Because I feel like in that poster you read, it was called a monologist and, like, singer or something.
You know, I wonder about that, too. Probably, I'm guessing in the 70s.
Yeah.
When they started to be stand-up comedians.
I feel like there was a shift at some point where... Because I feel like stand-up, modernized stand-up, really didn't happen until somewhere midway through the 1900s.
Yeah, there's like a big club, like a comedy club boom of some kind. And that's where you get like, you know, an improv in like some tiny town in Kansas or whatever.
Yeah, I feel like the comedy itself somehow has shifted from... Because it used to be, you know, when you'd say it's a monologist and vocalist, you know, he'd actually be telling more of a monologue than a set.
Actually,
you know?
Stand-up comedy, according to Wikipedia... was around as early as the 18th century.
Oh boy, what are they considering stand-up comedy?
I imagine, I don't know, fucking talking to the king about stuff.
Hey, king.
Hey, don't you remember History of the World Part 1, the stand-up philosopher?
No.
That's true.
Come on,
I
you
love
guys.
It. The history holds up. I don't know, I'm looking at United States history, I'm trying to...
Oh, bullshit artist. Bullshit today? Do you attempt to bullshit today?
1950s and 1960s, people started developing their acts in small folk. Okay, I'm not getting anything of importance here.
So, but why? So it's interesting that vaudeville theaters were turned into movie theaters.
Yeah,
but you still have like theaters are around, although
we call
people
them theaters.
Well, that's
this
that's,
whole time.
That's where you're gonna put your staged plays.
Yes,
yeah.
But like movies, in theory, could have killed those too, but they did not.
I mean, there's something.
Well, staged plays, guaranteed product, whereas vaudeville show is not.
Mm.
And also, like, were there that many movies coming out? Like, when movies started coming out, it's not like movies nowadays. Nowadays was three.
They used to release one a week. Like, when Citizen Kane came out, RKO was like, this is one of our bum... They didn't think it was going to be a big hit. I don't think it even was financially. Same with Casablanca. It was just, like, one of the movies they released some week.
And
there's still... But there's always still going to be a place for, you know, live theater or live entertainment. Just always.
Yeah.
That's what...
Absolutely right.
Which is good. Live theater still manages to cling on to something.
I mean, speaking of Klingons, take a look at Star Trek The Next Generation.
The pun crown has been passed.
Even on the Enterprise, they were staging plays.
Wow.
For their own personal entertainment.
What a segue.
Wow.
I should mention I've been on a 2-year-long project to watch all the Star Trek episodes
on
Netflix.
I thought of doing that, but it's such...
I started, but I couldn't do it. I started the William Shatner. Like,
yeah, I'm three, so three episodes in.
I couldn't do it.
You have to realize that they know that it's, like, campy.
Yeah,
I know.
You have to think about it like Batman. Yeah, you have to think about it like Batman.
See, yeah, I like it, looking at it from a historical perspective. I really like it. And, yeah, you know, again, I'm only, like, 3 or 4 episodes in. I like it. It's just so hard for me to know that, like, if I want to get through really all of Star Trek, I'm talking about 30 some odd seasons. And these, this early.
You mean Voyager Enterprise?
Every Star Trek, Brian.
I've gone through original series, Next Gen, and Deep Space Nine, and I'm on season 3 of Voyager right now.
Wow.
And so, all of those...
I've got to finish this.
She hasn't come out yet. May I be correct, John, in my assumption that all of these series are hour-long episodes?
Voyager,
yes.
I think it is.
Oh, yes. Boy. Okay, I'm going to get to it eventually. I've got many shows I want to watch.
Next Generation is so worth it.
I hear so many good things about it.
Last week they released season 1 of Next Generation on Blu-ray, and they had at movie theaters across the country. They had a showing of 2 episodes, and I went to the one in Chicago.
What did they show?
They showed the one with the Traveler, Will Wheaton, with Wesley Crusher and the Traveler, and they showed Data Lore with Lore, Data's evil twin.
Yeah,
Data has an evil twin.
Yeah,
yes.
No Q.
Does he look like the
no
guy
Q?
Who played
no Q was. They didn't show Q this time.
Oh my God, I see him. He's just Data.
But yes, it's just Brent Spiner again.
Were those like the two guys that were able to show up and give an interview or something?
Yeah, they did, and they showed some mini documentaries.
Oh, okay.
Of Next Generation, so it was fun. I wore my shirt that has a picture of. Commander Riker, and it says, "I'm number one."
Nice. Fuck yeah, dude. When I was in 4th grade, I was Commander Riker for Halloween.
That's why I grew the
beard.
And it was,
You'd be a good Commander Riker.
Everybody was really, like, not into it.
Which Ninja
really
Turtle
sad.
Are you?
I was really psyched. I had a full Commander Riker uniform, and I was like fucking ready to play jazz on the piano.
We're all Raphael.
He played the trombone.
Played the trombone, Brian.
He also played jazz piano.
All right, I don't remember that. I watched all the episodes once.
John Stark, you are an avid lover of the jazz.
Indeed, I am.
You were called the jazz man.
Yes. Well, another fun fact: when I was in high school. For 3 years, I hosted my own jazz radio program.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Jazz Central Station with John the Jazz Man Stirk.
This is great. I'm loving this.
Home Improvement was real big at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And Tim the Toolman Taylor. And, of course, living in Detroit, everybody watched that show.
Because
that's where it was set in Detroit. So I was John the Jazz Man for most of my high school. It says Jazz Man on my high school letter jacket.
They gave us
letters for radio.
Wow,
sweet.
They never did anything Detroit-y on Home Improvement.
Sure, they did.
What did they do? They were always at the house.
Sure
Tim
they did.
Tim wore lion sweaters
he wore
all
lions
the time.
And tigers and red wings clothes all the time.
That's just him wearing
lions
stuff.
They did an episode at the Silver Dome where he was in a suite at the Silver Dome.
And he shut down the electricity.
They made numerous references
more power.
To I-94.
And his son was scared of the basement.
It's true.
Which is kind of
which
one?
Yes.
Oh, I remember that.
He makes his bedroom in the
that's
basement.
A very specific episode.
Yeah, that's very common in Detroit.
Is that the one you've seen?
Oh,
I've seen all Home Improvement.
Also,
oh, really?
The RoboCop episode was really crazy, and it was just.
And
he's got green hands.
And Penn and Teller made an appearance on Tool Time for one episode.
It all comes back.
They actually had vaudeville type acts on their show.
Yeah.
They had the band that only played their...
That's right. That's very
their
popular.
Tools,
the Tool Band? Yeah, that was
they
awesome.
Had astronauts. They had... they had like...
They had a barbershop quartet.
Barbershop quartet all the time. They had celebrities on, so it was, they made it like
Tool
it was
Time
like
a
talk
was a
show.
Tool Time was a very strange show.
It was a great
yeah,
show.
The Man's Kitchen.
Home Improvement was great, but Tool Time.
Oh, the
was
Man's
Kitchen.
Yeah, when they did the
Dude,
Man's
if
Kitchen
Tool
and
Time
the Man's
was real,
Bedroom.
I would
watch it.
Yeah, that's Tool Time
would.
Is.
I don't
awesome.
Think I would.
It would DVR.
Mark says no.
Why not, Mark? I don't think I'd watch Tool Time. I don't know. You know, I just never got into Home Improvement at all. Actually,
dude, I love decorating my studio. I love hammering shit into walls and hanging out posters and then realizing it's not level.
When have you done this?
All the time, dude. Remember at A50 West Berry when I tried to rearrange the living room and you guys yelled at me?
That's right. You did it wrong,
Mikula. I don't think I've ever seen a poster of yours framed ever.
What do you mean? Oh, no. Oh, not like my own poster. Not like I framed the poster myself, but like
it came framed.
Like I hammer it and then, but it, you know, it.
Wait. So I don't understand then. Are
what,
you?
What are we?
What are you hammering in?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Oh, my Pop Tart's ready.
I'm talking about how good I am at putting a framed poster on a wall and having okay. and being at level the first time.
That's
so you
your thing.
Hit a nail in a wall.
It's not as easy as you think it is, LP.
Yeah, but it is, though.
I used it with a screwdriver the other day.
Do you know that it's hard to do? Well, I'm the one who always hung up the posters in our apartments. I was the poster
guy.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. The burden. They're all your posters, man. What'd you want?
Daft Punk was yours. That and Mark helped with that.
Daft Punk.
You got Daft Punk.
Well, folks, we are approaching the end of the podcast.
Oh,
but
I still don't know how to golf.
Well, you're in luck, Keith, because it's time for Keith's golf tips. I'm not going to force that upon our guests.
No, I used to play golf.
You want to give a golf tip?
All right.
All right. Well, in that case, it's time for John Sturk's
golf tips.
Okay, wait. Now, you want to make sure to keep your toes pointed straight,
mm-hmm.
flex your knees, and if you're a righty like me, make sure you keep your left arm straight. Keep your eye on the ball, and make sure you follow through. That's pretty much all you got to know.
I fucked it up already.
Oh, wow.
This has been John Sturk's
golf tips.
I don't think he did a very good job.
Yeah,
there wasn't any magic in
there. But I feel like I know how to golf better.
Yeah, but I don't know how to beat my opponent to the ground.
But what?
Ask me for my recipe for homemade laundry detergent.
What is your recipe for homemade laundry detergent?
Okay, one part borax, one part washing soda, two parts grated soap. I recommend Fels Naphtha or Zote.
Zope.
This has been John Sturk's golf tips. Cool, that was an actual. Those were actual fun facts.
I was waiting for the hammer to fall where the joke would happen. Like we'd walk right into it.
These are actual things that I
know this now.
You know, folks, we are recording this podcast on Monday, July 30th, which means
I've got them all
right it's right going to, if you're not listening to this live on livestream.com/Octavarius, you are likely listening to it the day that it comes out, which is Friday, August 3rd on both iTunes and Octavarius.com, which means we have some very special birthdays to announce. So first of all, happy birthday, John Landis, American film director.
Blues Brothers, hell yeah.
Happy birthday, Rod Beck, former closer for the Chicago Cubs.
The late Rod Beck.
Happy birthday, Tom Brady, American football player.
Meh.
Fuck you, Bang.
He's a Wolverine.
Happy birthday, James Hetfield.
Got
of Metallica fame.
Happy birthday, Antoine Fisher. Fuck yeah.
American fuck yeah.
Well, I think we should probably stop it there.
Oh, man.
Well, of course, we have some, we always have amazing birthday wishes to send out, but unfortunately, we have sad news, too. With every birthday, somebody must die. Well, for every birth, someone must die. Not for every birthday.
Every birthday, though.
Anyway, that is the rule. So, unfortunately, we have some sad news to announce, and that means to the family, friends, and fans of Lenny Bruce.
Oh,
stand-up comedian.
I'm sorry for your loss.
And to the family of Skip Carey, American TV and radio broadcast. I got two Cubs ones in today. How about that?
Cool.
Well, you got one in, and one out.
I believe Costello got this earlier, but he didn't
say,
say...
You can say this one.
To the descendants and the beloved of Bubba Smith.
Oh, MSU Spartan!
And Hightower of Police Academy.
Hightower. He played football for Michigan State. Go Greens.
Nice. I'm sorry for your loss.
John, we'll have to have you back on the podcast again. Wait, you're very informative.
I'm a fascinating individual with many facets.
And just a podcast, or this is a chat room update. Taryn has been having a great time with John Stark in the podcast because she is also from Michigan.
Woo!
So she is representing Go Blue. I don't know.
No, that's no good.
Oh, that's no good. Fuck you, Taryn.
Block her.
And I am blocking her right now. Dancing Girl has mentioned how she likes to dance. So
that's
she has said it several times.
Does she have a particular styles? Tap, jazz, what is it? Ballet?
She does it all. She's jack of all trades. All right. Jacqueline of all trades.
So, in short, John, it's been awesome having you on the podcast.
It's been my honor to be with you here in the Octavarius Bat Cave, and I hope you have me back.
Yeah,
we will on this Sunday, actually.
Yeah,
for the upcoming
for our vaudeville show.
What a coincidence! Wait, Nick, I heard you had a death day.
No, don't fuck it up, Mark.
Oh,
he said it earlier.
I did, but then. Oh.
No, I understand what's happening.
Yeah, we can
So come out to see the show this Sunday. It's going to be a very, very special show.
Mm-hmm.
That's this Sunday, Comedy Sports Theater, 929 West Belmont in sunny Chicago, Illinois.
John Stark will be doing magic.
Yes, John Stark's going to be doing magic. It's we've got some very special acts planned. It's going to be way silly. And that all starts at 7 p.m. this Sunday, so be sure to check us out. As always, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We are at Octavarius. And
thanks, everyone, who came to the Olympic show the other night.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very fun show.
And to everyone who's been to any show of our run so far, it's been a blast so far, and we can't wait to show you some of the amazing shows we've got in store over the next couple weeks.
Summer's not over.
And with that, we're just about ready to let you go. But not before we see if we're going to hear a successful completion of
Nick McCullough's Seven Words of Wisdom.
1994.
Are you counting that as four? 19 is one word. That's three.
I mean, it's one. It's only one word if you write it.
We lost.
We lost.
In Kent.
Well, this has been Nick McCullough's Seven Words of Wisdom.
We were right to count that 19. So obviously didn't get it anywhere.
19, McCullough. 19. It's one word. It always has
it. Didn't matter, though.
Thank God he's
pretty. The guy had a last name.
Thank God.
The worst part is he had that for a while.
Like 2 minutes.
It was more than nothing, like it usually is.
Look, Tanofsky.
He puts posters up. He doesn't do wisdom.
Right. Yeah, man, you want a good poster up, call me. McCullough Painter.
He admitted they're never level.
Paint your posters up.
All right, folks. Painters. That is going to do it for us. Until next time, please have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Octavarius.com. Go run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for more.
All right, I made sure to get that in the recording. That's the last thing I'm going to say.
No, keep it up.